Good morning and welcome to Studies in the Gospels here on the Gospel Radio Network, where each week we study the life of Christ as found in the four Gospel accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Today we are beginning a new section of our study, and we are calling this section the Year of Development in Jerusalem. Now today we're going to be looking at John chapter 7, verses 1 through 7, and the fact that even his brothers did not believe. Let's go to our text. Actually, we'll look at verses 1 through 9. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he did not want to walk in Judea, because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' feast of Tabernacles was at hand. His brothers therefore said to him, "Depart from here and go into Judea, that your disciples also may see the works that you are doing. For no one does anything in secret while he himself seeks to be known openly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world." For even his brothers did not believe in him. Then Jesus said to them, "My time has not yet come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you because it hates me, because I testify of it that its works are evil. You go up to this feast. I am not yet going up to the feast, for my time has not yet fully come." When he had said these things to them, he remained in Galilee. John's gospel was designed to create faith in Jesus among men. But John here, he tells us also about those who lacked faith. We find those in his own nation. Chapter 1 and verse 11 says he came to his own, and his own did not receive him. We also read about the lack of faith even among his disciples. Chapter 6 and verse 66 says, "From that time many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more." And not just the disciples, but for a time, even his own brothers did not believe. Now, if we go back to Matthew chapter 13 and verse 55, there we see them. "Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brothers' names James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas?" We also see this recorded in chapter 7, verse 5, just not in as much detail. "For even his brothers did not believe in him." We see this implied about his family in Mark's account in chapter 3 and verse 21. "But when his own people heard about this, they went out to lay hold of him, for they said, 'He is out of his mind.'" This was also foretold that this would happen in Psalm number 69 in verse 8. "I have become a stranger to my brothers and an alien to my mother's children." However, though, they would eventually come to believe in Jesus. And we see this in Acts chapter 1 verse 14. "After the resurrection, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers." But why did Jesus' brothers not believe in him from the very beginning? They certainly had been witness to the miracles, and obviously they would have known him as well as anyone. But the reasons why they did not believe at the beginning, and the reason they came to believe, at last provides great lessons for us as Christians today. So why did they not believe? What are some of the possible reasons for this? It could be that perhaps they were blinded by their familiarity with Jesus. It has often been said that familiarity breeds contempt. This was certainly a hindrance to many who knew Jesus from childhood. Go with me to Matthew chapter 13, and let's notice verses 54 to 58. When he had come to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, so that they were astonished and said, "Where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? And his sisters? Are they not all with us? Where then did this man get all these things?" So they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his own country and in his own house." Now, he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. This was also a common problem among the prophets. And notice there, as we just read in verse 57 in Matthew 13, "So they were offended at him, but Jesus said to them, 'A prophet is not without honor except in his own country and in his own house.'" In chapter 4 and verse 44, Jesus himself testified that a prophet has no honor in his own country. Perhaps his people were blinded by envy. Large crowds had been following Jesus everywhere, making it difficult for his family to engage him at times. Notice Matthew chapter 12, verses 46 and 47. "While he was still talking to the multitudes, behold, his mother and brothers stood outside, seeking to speak with him. Then one said to him, 'Look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside, seeking to speak with you.'" Indeed, jealousy can be a powerful hindrance to seeing things clearly. Perhaps they were also blinded by preconceptions. Many of the Jews certainly had wrong conceptions concerning the kingdom. Chapter 6 and verse 15. "Therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he departed again to the mountain by himself alone." Now his brothers, they had their ideas as to what Jesus should do. Notice back to verse 1. "After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he did not want to walk in Judea, because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' feast of the tabernacles was at hand. His brothers therefore said to him, 'Depart from here and go into Judea, that your disciples also may see the works that you are doing. For no one does anything in secret while he himself seeks to be known openly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world. It's much easier to reject someone if they do not live up to your expectations. But whatever the case, for one reason or the other, Jesus' brothers did not believe in him as the Messiah. And so I believe in this, there is a warning for us today. Do we let familiarity blind us to the truth? Do we reject what a close friend or relative might tell us? Especially since they have their own faults, of which we are well aware of. But we must remember that truth can be communicated by imperfect messengers. Philippians chapter 1, verses 15 through 18, I say, some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains, but the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And in this I rejoice, yes, and will rejoice. Do we let envy get in the way of truth? Are we jealous that we might be wrong and others might be right? Do we think that by admitting others are right, it somehow makes them better than us? Truth and salvation is too precious to let envy or jealousy keep us from it. Do we let preconceived notions obstruct a clear evaluation of the truth? Do we refuse to re-examine our cherished beliefs? Do we reject a view or teaching simply because we've never heard it before? Truth requires a willingness to hear and has nothing to fear from investigation. Again, we are reminded of the Bereans in Acts chapter 17 and verse 11. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness, and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Do not discount the potential impact of familiarity, envy, or preconceptions. Such blinded the brothers of Jesus so that even his miracles did not convince them. So what finally prompted them to believe? So how then did they come to believe? We noted earlier that Jesus' brothers eventually became his disciples. Now, they were with the apostles after the ascension. Now, let's go back to Acts chapter 1 and pick up in verse 12. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying, Peter, James, John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication, with the women, and Mary the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. James, the Lord's brother, became a key figure in the early church at Jerusalem. Notice Acts chapter 12 and verse 17. But motioning to them with his hand to keep silent, he declared to them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison, and he said, Go tell these things to James and to the brethren. And he departed and went to another place. Chapter 15 in verse 13, And after they had become silent, James answered, saying, Men and brethren, listen to me. On the following day, in Acts chapter 21, verse 18, on the following day, Paul went in with us to James, and all the elders were present. Galatians chapter 2, verse 9, And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that had been given to me, they gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should go to the Gentiles, and they to the circumcised. James and Judas, or Jude, both wrote their letters. According to secular history, James was martyred for his faith. What changed the Lord's brothers? It was the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Jesus appeared to James. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 7, After that, he was seen by James, then by all the apostles. The other brothers may have well seen him on other occasions, especially when we think of 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 6. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remained to the present, but some have fallen asleep. It is very possible his other brothers were among those 500. The significance of the resurrection was undeniable to his brothers. Miracles can be faked, but rising from the dead cannot be faked. The resurrection shattered any blinding ideas of jealousy or from familiarity or envy or preconception. All of these things would have been destroyed by the resurrection. And so, in the fact that his brothers did come to believe, there is a blessing for us today. It is understandable that an individual might find the gospel story incredible, to say the least. A man born of a virgin, a man who was the Son of God, a man who supposedly walked on water, a man who supposedly calmed the seas, a man who supposedly fed thousands with 5 loaves and 2 fish, a man who healed the lame and the sick, gave sight to the blind and raised the dead. Yet, there is plenty of good reason to believe this most incredible story. That is the conversion of those like Jesus' brothers, who at first did not believe for whatever reason, but were persuaded by the overwhelming evidence. Acts chapter 1 and verse 3. To whom also he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days, and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom. Remember Acts chapter 10. Verses 39 to 41. Peter here said, We are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him, after he arose from the dead. These individuals would never recant their testimony, despite the hardship and the persecution they would face. What else can explain the transformation of Jesus' brothers? It was the same thing that transformed the apostles. The conversion of his brothers and others who first doubted should strengthen our faith in Jesus. What else can explain the transformation of Jesus' brothers? It was the same thing that transformed the apostles. The conversion of his brothers and others who first doubted will strengthen our faith in Jesus. And so, as we wrap things up today, we need to remember that the unbelief of Jesus' brothers in the beginning serves as a warning to how easily we can be blinded by such things as familiarity, envy, and preconceptions, and how careful we must be to give others a fair hearing. But the unbelief of Jesus' brothers also serves as a blessing, for their eventual conversion implies overwhelming evidence of Jesus' resurrection for us. Since we believe in Jesus through the words of such men, the foundation of our faith is made stronger. With the help of their example, we can heed the exhortation given to us by one of Jesus' brothers. We close with Jude, verses 20 and 21. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. I want to thank you for joining me today. I hope that you'll tune in again next week, if the Lord wills, when we meet again at this same time for another edition of Studies in the Gospels right here on the Gospel Radio Network. So long, and have a great day.